Pickaxe.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Hello there and welcome to 0 Degrees, the podcast with no qualification where we try and solve your complications. My name is Lydia and I'm joined by my good friend Harry.
Hello, Harry. Hello, how are we doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Good. Ravs is fucking dead.
I think he's dead, which is really sad. And we should make this his memorial episode.
This is the Ravs Memorial Podcast. If you haven't heard it anywhere, Ravs died.
Oh my God, no. But what if he actually does?
It's fucked up. If he actually is dead?
Oh my God, no. Okay, we probably can't release it if he is. So, you know, no one will ever hear this. So that's fine then.
Well, we might not know. It goes out tomorrow, Lydia. We might not know if he's dead.
Oh my God. You don't think we know by then? I mean, that's... I think if we don't hear by tomorrow, I'd really think something was up.
He's dead, but he's fine. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
He's both.
Yeah. Okay.
He's dead, but don't worry about it.
Yeah. I think he's, yeah, that's exactly it. We assume he's either asleep or dead.
I don't know if there's another option.
I don't think there is. He's either asleep or dead. So, you know, praying for a sleep, but, you know, expecting
dead.
Yeah.
Just realizing to cover all that our bases. It's most likely. Yeah.
You know, it's like that thing, like, was it like hope for the best, but expect the worst? It's like, yeah. we're just doing that. You know, we're covering all our emotional bases. So yeah, I hope he's asleep, but you know, he's probably dead. So.
Okay. Now, if he actually was dead, if we're speaking right now and Ravs is lying in his bed, dead. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's dead. He's dead in the head.
He's dead in his head, yeah.
How long until we have to like call the police? How long not hearing from Ravs does it take for us to actually be like, he is dead? Like he's dead, but obviously he's dead.
He's really dead.
he's double dead.
Proper dead. I guess, it's 11 a.m. right now. I guess if it got to like...
When did he last stream? Like when's the last time he was like, you know,
he streamed last night.
Known of?
Last night, I'm pretty sure he was streaming. So... if it gets to like 5 or 6 and I'm calling and I haven't heard from him, then I think I'd contact Bree and say, Bree, can you just check? And then what if Bree's dead? Bree's dead as well. It's been a carbon monoxide leak.
It's been a carbon monoxide leak.
No.
No, Bree says, I'm in Wales. I'm not back for another week. Sorry. Oof. You know, good luck getting hold of him. Bree doesn't care.
Yeah, Bree's like, I don't give a shit.
She's
good
like,
luck.
Fucking leave me alone. I'm doing my own thing. Go away.
Get fucked. God, well, you live closer. I feel like I'd defer to you.
Wow. You're just like, wow, Harry, you go out and discover
Harry,
the corpse.
Yeah, I'm a bit far away.
How am I getting in? I don't have a key.
You could scale the building. You've got long legs.
He's renowned for not having a fucking window. It's all he complains about in summer is not having a window.
Oh my God, how do you even get in? He's got that little window. You could shimmy your way in there. I don't know what floor it is. Let's assume it's the 21st floor.
I can Spider-Man up.
You've Spider-Man.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not dying to find out if Ravs is dead.
No?
Like, I love Ravs, but I'm not dying climbing his building to find out just that he's still asleep.
No, that's the thing. It's always the risk with Ravs.
He still might be asleep?
He's probably still asleep. Ravs has a tendency to go to bed at like 8 a.m. So there's a good chance that he's just still asleep until the evening time.
But there's a chance he is dead. In that chance, I think I would give him an entire day. I'm mind blown that you went for 6 o'clock.
I just feel like he would be up by then, wouldn't he? I'd be a bit concerned by that point if it's like, how is he not awake by now? Maybe that is still a bit early because he could have woken up and then gone back to sleep. Yeah. All right. Okay. That is a bit jumping.
But is leaving them like, I don't know, like what is like, how long should you, like, should we already be concerned? That's what I'm wondering.
No.
Like, are we bad people?
No. He was live until like late last night. So, and for Ravs, this is basically the crack of dawn. 11 a.m. is the crack of stream of dawn.
Yeah.
So for him, you know, this is very normal. Very, very normal.
Okay. Well, you heard it here first. Ravs is dead until we hear otherwise.
Until we can be proven otherwise, that is
I think it's just the safer assumption.
Although now we've made this into a big deal. If Ravs doesn't wake up and join this podcast midway...
It's going to look fucking suspicious on us.
Yeah, we can't just end it like, oh, well, guess he might be dead, because that might worry people, you know?
No, I think that's good. They should be a little bit worried. I mean, I'm a little bit worried.
They're living
the fear that I have, that Ravs might be dead. I'm going to keep saying this. I just want to get as many sound clips of me saying Ravs is dead as possible during this podcast.
Oh, my God. I mean, so usually when this happens, when Ravs doesn't wake, he joins us midway through. Have we ever made it the whole way through without him waking up? I don't think so.
It's a good question.
So let's see.
I don't think we have.
This will really be the tell over the next however long.
Well, if he doesn't turn up, then it's a good sign he's dead.
It's a good sign. I don't know if that's the correct terminology.
Is that the correct
sign? It's a fantastic sign.
I'm just living in this alternate universe for a little bit. That Ravs is, I've accepted it, Lydia. You don't sound like you've accepted it.
Well, I'm more
Grief's
concerned
whereas
you sound
like a truck,
happy.
Lydia.
You sound very happy.
I have nothing to do with Ravs' murder. I want that on record.
But did you hit him with a truck? Seems weird that you just said that just then.
What if Ravs actually died and this is just like, they're going to play this in court.
No.
Like, this is how we found out Harry got him.
Oh my God. Oh, that would be good. And then, yeah, but then I would be dragged down with you because it would be like, oh, they made an alibi together where they both kept on saying, whoa, where's Ravs? Oh my God.
That would be so weird that he's dead.
Yeah, that would so be like a straight to fucking Channel 5 movie or whatever where it's like they created their alibi by making a podcast.
But they made
where
a podcast together. It's so strange. He always turns up to recordings.
The time is 11:05 on a Monday. Where is Ravs?
I could never be there murdering Ravs at 5 in the morning because I always get my good sleep before the podcast.
Fuck. All right. Well, hopes and prayers.
That he's dead.
No, that he's not dead, that he's alive. Okay. That's what I'm hoping and praying. I'm not sure about you. I really feel like he could
go
either way.
That Ravs is still in his flat.
Okay.
That's
You're not
my
specifying
line.
Much there.
But I'm praying that he's in bed.
Okay. Yeah. You're going to.
And that he's dead.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right.
I'm not praying he's dead. No, I hope he's okay. I'm sure he'll be fine. Don't worry about him. But if he is dead, you heard it here first.
Oh my God, no.
That's it. Well, it's like breaking news. We can just break the news before anyone knows about the news.
Oh my God, it'll be like with BBC. We've got to change into our black suit and tie. No
yeah,
one
but
see.
It's a podcast.
Just assume that we're wearing a black suit and tie, everybody. And now we're announcing it.
Be crazy if he had died. I mean, I'd be very sad.
I mean, Harry, stop saying that. Stop saying it. You're making it happen. You're fucking manifesting it. You're girl bossing it, whatever. Gee, you're freaking me out. Should I call him again?
Am I scaring you? Is this scary? Is you ringing? Is this turning into a horror podcast?
Yes. What are you doing? You fucking crazy weirdo.
Lydia's called Ravs 20 times during this podcast already. Just Ravs. Like, oh my God, oh my God, Ravs.
I think Harry might have killed you. Ravs. I'm actually really concerned now.
Bree?
All right. Should I say? Oh, but
Bree
Bree's
also
probably
stays
asleep.
Up till 5. Yeah. They're both probably dead together.
They're
going to
be
snoozing.
Oh my God. No, snoozing. Okay, Ravs. I'm texting him. Wake the fuck up. We think you're maybe dead. I think Harry killed you.
No, you can't say that because if he is dead, they find the phone. They're going to be like, fucking, well,
too
who's
late.
Harry?
Too late.
No.
Too late. But the twist is that I killed him. And this is me sowing the seeds.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I mean, I just admitted it on the podcast. So
that's fine. This is not legally permissible.
No one listens
in court
to it
because
anyway,
this is comedy.
So
this is comedy. It's all parody.
Mm.
Everything I'm doing here is an act.
This is parody. This is my name isn't even Lydia. I've never even met Matt Ravs in real life.
Time is 11:07. We still haven't heard from Ravs. Just want to log that in. I'm going to log that in randomly throughout the podcast.
But, just keep logging that in. Okay.
The Ravs is still technically dead.
Technically
until
dead.
Heard from it.
In the eyes of the law.
I'm treating him as dead.
In the eyes of the law.
Yeah. He's dead to me at least.
God. Yeah, he didn't show up to his podcast, so he's dead to me.
He's fucking dead to me.
Yeah. All right.
Should we do a fucking question?
Yeah, whilst we wait to see if our boy lives or not, shall we do a question?
Some say wait, some say grieve.
I'm grieving right now. This is how
I'm
grieve.
Grieving. This is how I grieve, is by waiting. It's my grieving action. Okay, I haven't actually read any of these fucking questions. They all look relatively new to me.
Right.
Shall I just fucking grab one?
Just go for it. Hell no. Hell no. I meant hell yeah. No.
I was being dead for another 30 minutes.
Next, I'm in a bad state of mind right now. Okay.
Okay. Hi, I love the podcast. I have a small but very long-standing friend group that goes back all the way back to school. We're now in our mid-20s now. And as such, some of the luckier ones of our group have gotten into relationships. Whilst in most cases this has been great, as it has expanded the group and we've all got on well, I cannot stand one of my friend's girlfriend.
Oof.
They've been together for about a year and I've put up with it, but I'm going insane. It's like my friend has become a different person when she is around, and they both have become unbearable to be around. What do I do? What do I say? Do I say something and potentially damage the long friendship, or do I just have to deal with it? They are planning on getting married as well. Thanks.
Oh, that is brutal.
Oh.
That is brutal. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so starting off. Do you sympathize with the, not sympathize, but like, do you have a long standing friendship that you've like group that you've known for a very long time?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd have like group, but I have a lot of long standing friends.
Yeah.
I would say, I don't know about you. Maybe some different groups. I don't know if I've experienced that. This person sounds like they fucking hate that partner.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've experienced like such strong feelings that way. Do you know what I mean? I think I empathize a little bit with their position in the sense of like, I've been maybe frustrated or annoyed, but then usually that selflessness is then rationalized with, well, I'm just happy for my friend. Do you know what I mean? Any kind of like frustration about they're changing or whatever, you're like, well, they're not my, I'm not putting my dick in my friend. Do you know what I mean? Like, they have a special thing going on where they can do what they want. So I don't know. What have you, do you feel like you found this? Like one of your girlfriends has got a boyfriend that's been weird or?
Yeah. So I think I have a very similar scenario to this person. Before I moved, I grew up in London and my friendship group I made when I was around 11, and we're still very close friends now. But there was a point where we would hang out all the time with each other because we all lived in London before we sort of scattered a bit. So I sympathize. Empathize? No. The same situation with this person in that sense. And I actually did have a sort of similar scenario happen where we were quite young at the time. I think we were like 19 or 20. And one of my friends had a boyfriend that I just didn't get on with at all. We really, really fell out massively, me and this guy.
I'm interested. Why? What? How didn't you get on?
You know what? I'm struggling to even remember why it all happened now. It feels like it was a lifetime ago.
How old were you guys?
I think we were around, let me work out. I think we were like 19, 20. So we're going back like 14 years ago now. I think that a big problem of it was that I just fundamentally just didn't really get on with him very well. We were very different people. Sometimes that just happens. And if you are sort of put together in a friendship group, it can become a little bit awkward.
It is one of the awkward bits, right? Like, you know, you spend years narrowing down this friend group and the style of person that you like to hang out with, et cetera. And it becoming this cozy place where you feel like you can be yourself and be free and open, and then you do just kind of get lambasted with people's choice of partners.
Yeah,
it's always going to change the funk.
100%. It really, I feel like at the time it massively changed the sort of equilibrium we had going, and he did things that I massively disagreed with. I didn't like some of the actions he took, so me and that friend lived together. And
oh, okay, fuck.
Yeah, and then he basically kind of moved in with her, which I hated because I was basically then living with this guy. We just didn't get on. It was a nightmare. And in the end, me and that friend then became very distant. So it was this horrible situation that absolutely spiraled out of control. But for me, the way it sort of found its resolution was that they ended up breaking up because he was a fucking nightmare. And she was like, you know, oh God, you know, we just became friends again and it was, everything was fine. But obviously that's not really advice because I can't say, well, you never know,
just
they might
break up.
Yeah, because
but equally, I feel like that was, did you think that that was always on the cards? Like if you're two, if you're both friends, you're probably quite similar people in many ways.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, looking back, it was never going to be a long-term thing because I think she was just too good for him. Basically, I still sound bitter about him. I guess I am a little bit.
No, fuck him. Fuck him. He's dead. He's dead with Ravs. No. The time is 11:14. Ravs is still dead.
Still dead. But yeah, but I would say though that I think that situation would have gone down very differently if it were to happen, say, now. I think because we were so young, mm-hmm. I reacted very differently to how I would react now. I think I took everything very personally. I think I felt jealous that I was losing my friend. I think I felt very upset and very hard done by everything. When actually, if it was happening now, I would be a lot more understanding of, like you said, this person makes my friend happy.
How old were you? Like
1920. So... yeah, to me, that's still baby.
Friend groups then are so fucking important.
Oh my God, they're your everything.
Like that is literally, like, you know, you're just moving out.
Yeah.
You're relying on them more than your family in many ways. Like losing those friendships losing access to those friendships through relationships is fucking like, yeah, no.
It's like life or death at that point. Like, you know, I didn't have a stable, like, it wasn't like I was in a relationship. It was just I had my friends, you know? And yeah, if you feel like you lose your friends, it's like, oh my God, what do I do now?
It's very destabilizing.
100%, yeah. So, yeah, I do feel like I would handle it different now with, like, age comes wisdom, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I do sympathize with this person because I understand when you are very close friends with someone and then you have to hang out with this person all the time that you don't get on with and you feel like they're changing your friend as well. It's horrible. It is a horrible scenario. And they say, what, they're in their mid-20s, so...
yeah, I feel like that's on the cusp of you no longer giving a shit about stuff like that.
I feel like it still takes a little while for that to kick in. I think that's like early
30s. I feel like you have to accept that people are going to have relationships and that's going to change people. Like, I think just is not part of this, just humans hating change.
Yeah.
Like, hating change to their friend group, hating change to their friend. Like, these are just things that just do happen.
It is the inevitable, I guess, especially with a close friendship group like that. Eventually people are going to get married and move away and get new jobs. And you know, the friendship group will fracture. It is inevitable. You know, with my friendship group, we were so close, but you know, people move away, people have got married, people have had kids, like it is inevitable. But so saying that.
I feel like it's really hard to interject yourself between two people.
Yeah. I don't think you can.
If it goes badly, your friend will potentially never forgive you.
Oh yeah, this sucks to. It's a hard pill to swallow. But if you tell your friend, "I don't like your girlfriend," et cetera, there is a huge chance your friend is going to pick. Well, it's their fiance, right? Or they're going to get married. Or they're thinking about getting married. Your friend is going to pick their partner's side, and you will just lose a friend. Is a huge possibility.
Now, I would say it's worth speaking up if you think that there's something abusive or, you know, something deep. But if it's not just the vibe is off, if it's something worse than that, if you think that person is like literally bad for your friend.
Oh, okay.
Like, that needs to be like thought about really objectively and not just, I liked them when they didn't have a boyfriend.
Because I got more of their time
and they were funnier and they didn't spend as much. Like, you can't be selfish with people. I think that's like, you know, it's very like I'm the main character point of view. Do you know what I mean?
That's the thing. Like, if your friend is happy, and it sounds like they are, assuming, like you said, this isn't like a destructive or dysfunctional kind of situation, assuming that they're happy, it fucking sucks, but you just have to just leave them to it because you can't. What are you going to do? Are you going to say, I don't get on with your girlfriend, you could become annoying when you're with her? Like, what's he going to do then? He's just going to feel incredibly self-conscious and then torn between both of you.
Without making it like a big thing, I think you can make points that, you know, you want to go and hang out with just your friend. I don't think that's an entirely unfair ask. Like, I mean, you can still go and enjoy that friend without them always being there.
That should definitely be an option. I do think sometimes when people like...
Relationships don't steal people from other people.
It shouldn't be like that. And I think some people, when they, especially when they like get into a serious relationship, they become so fucking blinkered and blindsided by it that they just want to do everything with that partner all the time. But your friend should...
I feel like it's very much the honeymoon...
The honeymoon phase. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like those first couple months or like year or whatever. I feel like up to a year is very much... Like, that's the bit that also minds blowing me. I just think this sounds to me, I don't know about you, but it sounds to me like an American relationship, just because mid-20s and thinking about getting married. Like, I just don't
think...
I just don't think that is a thing that happens in the UK.
It could be more rural, though. I think in the city that would be young, but in somewhere more rural in England it could be.
Yeah. I don't know, it just suddenly really sprang out to me as a really American...
Yeah, I mean, mid-20s, planning to get married is, I would say that was very young. But then I grew up in a city. That feels very young to me.
Yeah, I think you got to be so careful to not become the asshole.
Yeah. And the thing is, your friend there is a big chance that they will see you as an asshole if you turn around. And I know you can be very diplomatic. You don't have to turn around and say, I find your partner annoying. You're annoying when you're with them. Like, there are nicer ways of doing it. But the thing is, I feel like you can't really win in this situation. Unfortunately, in between a rock and a hard place.
I would say it's best to not participate. I think also, you know, these things just don't last forever. Like, I don't want to be like depressing about it, but like, things do change. Things do have to move on. Like, it's not this permanent thing. And I know it sucks to think about, but like, friendship groups aren't always permanent. They do change and evolve. And so sometimes you just have to accept that. And if you don't like it, maybe you find some other things, or, you know, you don't have to stick about. I feel like, I don't know. I don't want to say like fucking move on, but also like change fucking happens. Like,
I mean, I sympathize because the situation is shit. And I do understand why this person is upset about 100%. But I guess in the meantime, what you could do is maybe try and arrange to do stuff with just them. How you articulate that is up to you. But if there's a way to be like, hey, do you want to come over and we just have a little hang sesh or something like that?
You can do it with, let's do just the boys or whatever. Lads, there's a million words for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can find an excuse or a reason. I don't think that sounds like a problem.
Yeah, but it's a tricky one. And I feel like kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't, but good luck with it. I feel like
you're more damned
better.
If you do, personally.
It's
one of those weird situations where I'd actually not encourage any action to be taken. I feel like you will ruin that friendship.
I agree.
I don't feel like we can advise that.
Yeah, through life experience, if you start... talking negatively about someone's partner, even if you mean well, they will pick their partner's
side.
They will pick their partner's side. So
it's almost certain to go wrong. Don't do it. Unless again you think there's something deeper or worse going on than 100% speak out and help your friend. But if it's just they're annoying, then fucking probably just keep your trap shut.
Yeah. And good luck.
Good luck. The time is 11:21. Ravs is dead.
Oh my God. Every minute that ticks by is a dagger to my heart. And a dagger.
I feel like
maybe
a newsreader. I feel like
Ravs.
A news person. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
Like on the radio, just like, the time is 11:22. Mm. Ravs is still dead.
Ravs is still dead. Okay.
Now with the weather, Lydia.
Okay. All right. Next question. What's the best way to go about telling my partner of 2 years that I've been a sperm donor? We're both about 30 years old and don't have real kids yet, although we've talked about it for the future. Here's the main problem, though. Due to Norwegian law, whatever spawns have been created with the help of my genetic material will be told the identity of their genetic origin when they turn 16. In other words, they might start popping up in 13 to 14 years. So there's no point in trying to hide it forever. Kind regards, anonymous.
What the fuck?
Whoa. I've been a sperm donor. Okay, is that... I mean, I'm assuming Norwegian law... I'm going to have to Google it, aren't I? Norwegian law.
just googling Norwegian law.
I'm just going to research it all. It's good to get a good coverage, you know, of everything. Okay, all right. Since 2005, all donor insemination in Norway is by law open donation. A donor must agree to release his identity to any donor progeny aged 18 or older, and all sperm donors must be added to the national registry. Wowie. Okay, I wasn't doubting this person, but that is crazy. So maybe it's not crazy. I don't know. Anyway,
I think that's kind of good.
It's good. Like, it's good. Yeah. Okay.
Because I feel like you always hear those stories of I turned 18 and I want to know who my father is. It's like, just make that process less painful and annoying for those children. Why?
Yeah,
why should it have to be so complicated for them?
I guess, like, wow. So being a sperm donor is a huge responsibility then, because it's not you just go in and jack it and get 20 quid or whatever it is. I don't know.
I know, that's what I've been doing. Apparently that was just a random fucking cafe, Lydia.
Oh, shit. Ravs. Sorry, I'm saying. That's why I stopped thinking about dead Ravs.
The time is 11:24. Ravs is dead.
Fucking hell. Something about sperm and money. Yes, sperm donations. So if you do this, you're literally saying in 18 years' time, there's a huge chance that someone's going to get in touch with me and be like, you're my father.
Yeah,
that's
massive.
Hey, y'all. I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
I feel like that would make me not want to do it.
Oh my God, no. That's
surely
intense.
A lot of the joy of sperm donating is the fire and forget nature of it.
The joy. You just get to come and you're given money. That's the joy.
You're just blasting soldiers out there and you don't have to, you know, worry about what they do.
Yeah, but this is like, what if the 18-year-old is like, I'd like to have a relationship with you. Like, I'd like to know my dad.
I'd be like, fuck off, you little clingy cunt. Yeah, fucking leave me alone.
That's nuts. Okay, so is
last time I saw you, I was in a stool in a nurse's room.
I was in a Starbucks, apparently.
I was in a Starbucks, jacking off into a coffee cup. Don't turn up on my doorstep asking for money. I guess you have no legal obligation to take care of them,
yeah,
right?
And it must
no
be
longer
something
child, so there's no
like
childcare stuff.
It must be a case, well, they're 18 by that point, right? So
I wonder, if you died, like Ravs is dead, if you died, would your kids would your sperm-donated kids have a right to your will if you didn't have one as like next of kin?
Wow, maybe, yeah. I guess, if they came forward and was like,
That's my father,
and here's the proof, and he's not made a will, and he's got no offspring. Yeah,
he's like no family, no relatives. Like, I guess they would have the next claim, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, why not? I think that makes sense. Maybe.
Yeah.
It's
so strange. I feel like I haven't really thought about the whole sperm donation process and stuff much in life. I mean, it's not been one that I just sit there and ponder.
No,
very
neither
often.
I. Not
and
really.
There are a lot of very interesting kind of just mechanical bits to it. And a very, it's weird because it feels to me actually like such a kind of clinical process, but there is so much emotion potentially attached to all of this.
You're like, making a baby potentially. You'll have a child out there.
Just even this conversation this person's written in about, like, how do I tell my partner that I've been a sperm donor?
Yeah, that I've like, potentially that, got children out.
But like, potentially that might end their relationship. You know, what if that person reacts really badly? They're like, what the fuck? You've basically already had kids without me. Like, do you know what I mean? Like this.
Yeah, they might be funny about it. They might be like a concern. Like, what are I don't like the idea of these children, these people
You've got
turning
thousands
up.
Thousands of children running around.
You know, people might not be cool with it. So I've just looked it up. Norway, how much sperm can you donate? Norway says children per donor is 8 children. So, I mean, this is just
8 children. Okay.
I'm not sure if this is exactly correct. This is sort of that Google, like,
how many
snippet.
Fucking Norwegians are there? There's only a couple million Norwegians.
So I think this is saying you can potentially make 8 kids, but this might be wrong. This is,
wait,
you know,
are you then allowed to also make your own kids?
Yeah, absolutely. They can't stop you from having your own babies.
You can get a lot of kids in this man.
Oh, wait, hold set. Sperm donor father of at least 550 kids banned from donating any more sperm.
Yeah, because that is fucked up.
This is in the Netherlands. 550 children.
I mean, there are so many problems with
that. Oh my God, there's a huge amount of problems with that. Jesus Christ.
I mean, like, do they know each other? Are they all in the same area? I mean, there's a great documentary on the horrible man that did it in America on Netflix.
I was thinking of that,
And that, I would recommend people go and watch that, because that's what this question instantly made me think of.
Yeah.
I can't remember, what's his name?
God, I can't remember either now.
Someone put it in the YouTube comments or something. Sperm donor document. I'm going to find it because I want to actually. Our Father, that's it.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Our Father on Netflix, which is about a fertility doctor who used his own sperm on the patients, which is, I mean, he didn't get charged with rape in the end or something. It is based on a completely real story.
Yeah, it's a factual story. It's horrific.
I mean, the fact that he didn't get done deeper, I was mind blown by.
I don't know if I saw the end.
It was a tough watch. Like, it was fucked up.
But the thing was, obviously, that he was doing it in this, it was like a small town or something, right?
Yeah, it was a really small town, and he'd done it to about 2,000 or something children.
Something like that. And obviously then you bring in the incest with the people not knowing that they are having children with their brothers and their sisters. It's just absolutely horrific.
It's fucked up.
So I guess they have to have a limit, right, on how many.
And just the poor ladies. I mean, fucking hell.
Just the what? Sorry.
The poor ladies. I mean, just so messed up.
Absolutely, incredibly messed up. But it seems like, as far as I can tell from this very cursory Google search, it seems that there's a limit. So you are like, you're not hopefully going to end up with tons of kids. not that that's making it any better. Yeah. You get 18-year-olds turn up at your door, it's still going to be like, okay, right. Sorry.
I mean, it's a great thing that society has now.
Yeah. You know? I mean,
what
God.
A wonderful invention.
I mean, it's fantastic, and it helps so many people have children who wouldn't be able to. And it's wonderful.
Dope.
But with this person, I can understand their specific worry.
I'm interested, would you, if a partner told you, I guess it would be weird to do it during, I guess that's the weirdness, right? Or is that weird? Do you think it's weird to donate sperm while you're in a relationship with somebody?
In a relationship, yes. I think if my partner turned around and said,
let's break down why, because I feel like that's a bit weird, but I kind of don't understand why I think it's a bit weird.
Okay, all right, okay.
Let me just pose the argument for, because I would say it's, you're just doing a service to help other people.
Okay.
You know, in many ways, it's like, you know, it's kind of just the most humanitarian thing you can do to help other people in the world. Like, it's a super lovely thing and it's amazing. So,
Okay.
I feel like go.
Okay, I got you. All right. So I think if my partner turned around and said, I was a sperm donor before we met, and that there is potentially, you know, however many 18-year-olds or whatever out there, I'd be like, whoa, that's crazy. But I wouldn't be upset or annoyed because A, they didn't even know me at that point. And it's not like you can't make decisions for someone you're not even with yet. And B, like, yeah, whatever, it happened, and it's kind of wacky, but you know, I think that's something you can deal with. If they turned around and said, throughout our relationship, I've been sperm donating, I think I've been a sperm donor. I think it's something weird about it, because it's just the thought that your partner.
Okay, wait. Because I think there's something also here that I've been doing it, but not telling you.
Okay,
so
let's
pose it like, I'm going to go and do this, or I want to go and do this.
Oh, okay. So they're saying they want
yet.
It hasn't happened.
I think you're right. It's weird, but they haven't been telling you that.
They haven't told you.
That's weird.
Yeah.
But let's say they want to go and do it.
I want to go and do this. I think it's a really good cause, and I'll make some money on the side.
Oh. Do you even make much money? I feel like, is that just like a Simpsons joke?
Do you actually? UK sperm donor.
Get paid 35 quid. It's not, I mean, it's not fucking, you know, not, yeah, it's not retirement money, is it?
Yeah, no, it's just a bit here, a little bit extra. They said, I want to go, I'll be a sperm donor. Oh God, that's a tricky one. I think it maybe might make me feel slightly weird because, you know, maybe I would potentially think about kids in the next few years. Mm. And then the thought that there might be his kids out there with another woman who might suddenly appear. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, it does make me feel a bit kind of like,
Is it like a jealousy thing?
Yeah, not jealousy in the sense that I know it's not like he's had an affair, but it's just... It you know what? It just makes things complicated when it doesn't need to be complicated.
A very mechanical, like I said, like it's such a mechanical clinical process. Like
it's not like he's going off to fuck some woman and he's like, got up reggers.
And like,
he is then, yeah.
And my assumption is most sperm donations probably go to like lesbian couples. Maybe probably a lot will go to people with fertility issues.
People who can't conceive, like single parents, partners. Single mothers. There'll be a plethora of people that will go to.
It's so close. I'm so close to 50-50 on it. I entirely see like why you would be frustrated or like.
Just makes stuff really potentially quite difficult and complicated in the future, you know. And it's not like there's a huge need. It's not like there's like. We need A-type blood or something. I mean, as far as I'm aware, they're not desperate for more sperm. Like, I would kind of be like, you don't have to do this, do you? Like, it's going to very complicated.
If they were in more need, because actually, I don't know.
Actually, I mean, maybe they are. I'm saying
maybe
that.
Maybe there's lulls and stuff.
Yeah.
If it was like a thing, like it's like donating blood, like we like don't urgently fucking need it all the time.
This is a sperm drive.
But like if people stop donating, they would be big fucking disaster. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like,
oh God.
Like, would that make you feel differently about it? Like, I feel.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
The mechanics of. Yeah, I.
What do you think? How do you think your partner would react?
I don't know. I feel like, because I think the thing is, it's seen as a seedy act.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I think that's actually kind of fucked up, the more I'm thinking about it.
Mm.
Like, the fact that society sees donating sperm as this seedy, quite literally masturbatory act is kind of weird, because actually it's not that. Like, when you put it next to donating blood, it is way more, it feels to me way more like donating blood.
Like, I think it's because you have to have a wank, though, isn't it? That it's...
Yeah.
What people get this kind of grossness, this seediness about it, because you're literally going into a room and having a wank.
I think pop culture is fucking kind of ruined sperm donations.
Yeah, it's always something which has been joked about on TV and stuff.
I think of like the Peep Show fucking wanking off to the Queen.
Oh my God, like, yeah.
But like, the thing is, you have no power once they've taken that sample, right? You know, it's not like I'm there like, yes, this woman.
No, you don't get to pick and choose.
Like, it's not like fucking, it's not like going to Argos.
No,
and I'm like
you don't
depositing
get a
my fucking, I'm not getting a catalogue of fucking lesbian couples to fucking idealistically procreate with my fucking sperm. Do you know what I mean? Like it's the other way around.
Yeah, it just goes and you don't know where it goes. They don't tell you.
And I think that idea of actually going to be able to help someone. I don't know. I don't know how my partner will react. I mean, I'm going to talk about it with them afterwards. Not that I want to, but I think it's an interesting...
Yeah, I think it is interesting. It's something I've never really discussed or thought about before.
I think the anxiety of someone just turning up at my door in, you know, 18 years time, be like, hello, father.
Yeah.
it's terrifying. And there's enough to make me never do it.
I imagine that law in 2005 meant a sharp decline in people. Donating sperm because that is a really freaky thought.
Would you donate your eggs?
Harry, I've probably barely got any left. I'm probably fucking dry.
I mean,
there's probably
also
a cracked one in there somewhere. I don't have any to give away.
It's also worth saying that is also not an equivalent exchange in terms of sort of invasive surgery,
it's a simple action. Quite a big deal. But a woman my age, you can't be giving them away for free, Harry. You've got to cling on to what you've got,
that's
darling.
But on a moral, I mean, it's the same moral argument, right? It's the same 50% that
you're
makes
helping
up a thing.
Other people conceive.
And I don't think I would, if my girlfriend was like, I want to donate eggs, I would be like, go for it.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking wonderful.
Give some eggs away.
Great. You know, that's going to help someone. Amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think, because there is no seediness, there is no sexuality attached to eggs, right?
No, it feels much more like medical, clinical than sperm, you know?
Than sperm.
Yeah.
And so I think that parallel makes me think that sperm donation should be fine.
Yeah. But okay, so back to what this person is saying, right? So their issue here is that it sounds like they've been a sperm donor before they got together. It says that I've been a sperm donor. We're about 30 years old. We don't have real kids. We talked about in the future. So from what I can gather, they're saying they're worried that in, you know, years time, 18-year-olds are going to turn up being like, hello, papa. And how do they tell their partner that?
I think you just can. I mean, I don't know if Norway, I assume, is not more socially conservative than us, but I feel like, especially if it's something, I mean, fuck me, if it's something you've been doing while you've been with them and not been telling them,
then that's a whole other level.
But if it's something that you've done before meeting them, I think I think 2 years is still early enough in that it's not awkward to have not mentioned it. I think you probably should have mentioned it in like the first 6 months a year, but 2 years in is still early doors enough that I also just don't think it's that big an issue.
I can see how, playing devil's advocate here, I could see how it could be a big issue for her though. Not to freak this person out, I can imagine how they might be like, why did you not tell me this sooner? Not that hearing it is going to make them leave you or break up with you. It's more just like, I mean, I feel like it's quite a big deal that, you know, you might have kids turn up down the line. It's
okay. So I mean, realistically, the kids turn up, they go, it's so wonderful to meet you. This is great. Thank you, you know, for basically bringing me into this world in some weird way. Mm-hmm. Cheers. I have an entire life. Bye.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But it might not go that way though, right? It might be like, you know.
At that point, they're an adult.
The reason
they're told it when they're at that point, because you don't have.
Well, you don't have to give them financial help, but they might be like, I want to be a part of your life. And it becomes.
But I think that's something that he's had to tackle. And again, they're not going to give a shit about this fucking woman or partner or whatever. They're there for him. Do you know what I mean?
I don't mean to sound like an awful person. I'm just playing devil's advocate here of why she might be upset by it, if you see what I mean.
How would you feel if he had donated one of his kidneys? Now, obviously, you can donate a kidney pretty happily. It does obviously like slightly impact your life.
Yeah.
You know, you are losing a kidney.
Yeah.
And I guess in that way, in years to come, it may slightly impact your life. You know, if your kidney starts failing, then it puts you in a medical, you know, predicament.
Mm.
I don't feel like I would have to tell my partner that I had donated a kidney. I probably would tell them as a whimsical joke, or you would notice because of a scar. But do you know what I mean? I don't feel like they are owed to know your medical history.
Your partner isn't. Well, wouldn't you tell your partner about that though? I feel like once they're your partner, you tell them about those kind of like.
But if it comes up, if it's a relevant thing, yeah. I don't feel like it wouldn't be like a burning, needy thing. Like on the first date.
Oh yeah,
like,
I need you to know.
By the way, I've donated one of my kidneys.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not like that for
do you
sure.
Know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I still feel like it's something that you would tell them.
But my partner can then be like, "Oh, what the fuck? What the fuck? Now that means you've like got, you know, that tiny percentage worse life odds. That's going to impact me in the future. Like, I don't feel like, I think." I guess my take is you when you start dating someone or being with someone, you just have to, however they were up to that point is just how you have to take it.
That's the thing. What I will say to this person, sorry, we've kind of gone back and forth, this person who sent the message in. I'm assuming that this happened before you were even with your partner. Like, you didn't do anything wrong by living your life when you weren't even with this person.
Yep.
I do think it would be good to tell her. Or them, I think just sitting them down and just saying like, hey, this is kind of a bit crazy, but this happened before we met. You know, this might never lead to anything, but there is a chance many, many, many years down the line that, you know, this will happen, but this is what I'll do. And I've thought it through and it won't impact our lives. I don't know. Or maybe it will impact your lives. I don't know. But just tell her.
That's really interesting. I would probably tell them in the exact opposite way.
Oh, okay.
I would
do
more jokey way of find some segue to have something about sperm donation on TV. And be like, you know, I donated sperm once. Did we ever talk about this? I'd be way more laissez-faire and way more casual about it.
Yeah.
Unless it is a huge thing to you, I think the big sit down, talk to them about it is going to freak them the fuck out and make them worry about these fucking kids turning up in 13, 14 years. Like, I would be way more... Because it sounds like it's quite a... I mean, the fact that it hasn't come up in 2 years of being together, either it's a thing that you're very ashamed of, and that's why you've not talked about it, or it's just a thing you don't give a shit about, and it's not a big thing. In which case, you should not treat it like a big thing.
I wonder if... Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Well, they said there's no point in trying to hide it forever. So it makes it sound like they've purposefully not brought it up before.
Yeah, right? I feel like you don't need to... I don't think you need to hide this thing. Like I said, I think the comparison to donating eggs is a really, really good one. Like, I don't think that...
Yeah.
There's nothing shameful about donating sperm.
Also, just, reiterate the fact that... Like, also to yourself, you know, you weren't with this person when this happened. I think there's this weird thing where sometimes where a couple, where one of the couples will get angry at the other person for something that happened before they were together. And it's like, you can't be angry at someone.
The statute of limitation on those crimes has passed out. Like, weren't there. Like, you don't get to choose these things.
It's like, so they might be a bit, kind of a bit like, whoa about it, but they, you know, you weren't even with them. Like, they can't, you're not a fortune. You can't see into the future and make decisions based on that, you know?
No, I agree. I mean,
I do quite like your option though, the kind of jokey one. Maybe I was going a bit too heavy handed with it.
I think you can play it off very, I mean, it is kind of, that is leaning into the media take on it, right? It's leaning into the, it's a silly fucking dumb action, isn't it? You know, not to make yourself sound irresponsible, but I think you can. I just think the big sit down talk about it is going to fucking terrify
Maybe
them.
It will freak her out a bit. And she'll be like, oh my God, there's 8 children who are going to turn up.
25 children are going to turn up on our door asking for soup. Not take them down that train of thought.
Maybe being a bit more chill with it. And whatever you do, I'd say the sooner you do it, the better. Because as soon as it is off your chest and it's out in the open, you can... Like, just forget about it. It sounds like it's probably a little bit of a kind of a bit of a burden on your mind at the moment. So just telling them will be probably a massive relief.
And if they love you, then they won't give a fucking shit.
Well, exactly. They won't.
If they don't love you, then they're going to be horrible and nasty to you.
And then what a bullet. What a bullet missed. Because.
Yeah, what a fucking bullet missed. Because that is a good litmus test. And if they're a twat.
Exactly. And you're talking about having kids in the future. You don't want to have kids with someone that is going to, you know, be like that. So there we go. Boom.
For real. Boom. All right. We're going to have to wrap it up because Liz is going to have to run.
The time is
11:45. Ravs is still dead.
I'm going to do one last call to Ravs, okay? One last call. This might be the thing
No, fucking don't wake him up. We're fucking finishing.
Wake him up. I'm just making sure he's alive.
Oh, no. He is dead. Nothing can wake him up now. He's passed. If he is actually dead, this is going to be an insane podcast to release.
My God.
I don't know if we're going to be able to release this.
I don't think we'll be able to release it if he's dead.
I think it's going to get fucking subpoenaed by investigators.
Right. He's not picking up. 11:45. Time of death. Not sure.
Time of death.
Unsure.
I cannot. If Rams is actually dead, this is going to be a fucked up podcast.
Yeah. Well, it won't go live. So.
No, we'll go live to Patreon. Patrons will be listening to us.
Oh, nice.
We're Patreon exclusive.
Nice. All right. Okay. Well, it's been good.
Speaking of patrons, thank you so much for all our patrons. Hope you enjoyed. We did a mega long Am I the Asshole last week. So I hope you all enjoyed that. Hope that was good times. I thought it was good fun.
Yeah, enjoyed it. It's good.
Quite a few Am I the Assholes now. So if you want to become a patron, head over to patreon.com/degrees and just become a patron for a month and then unsub. That's honestly what I advise to do. It's what I do with a lot of patron things.
Binge it all and then dip out.
And then you can come back in like 6 months a year and do it again. I recommend it. It's my strategy. It helps support the podcast. So appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody. We will be back next week.
See you
later.
Take care.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.